What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and you are listening to Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And Corsair Gaming, come sail away. Now, we have a very awesome show for you today because we have a special guest interview. At about the 30-minute mark, you can cut to an interview that we did with Greg Weissman. He is a writer, producer. He does all sorts of stuff in the animation world. His most famous works were probably co-creating the Gargoyles franchise, if you remember that one back in the Fox 40 days, as well as the Star Wars Rebels series. He does that one, and the Spectacular Spider-Man as well. And he also has novels and stuff that he does on his own, a successful Kickstarter campaign. We're going to get into all that with him. But as far as VGB goes, we have an amazing cast of characters. David Ng is here. David Webb is here. Aaron Carter is here. I am here. Corey Vincent is here for you. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about Street Fighter, new character announced. We're going to be talking about spoiler-free version of what happened on The Walking Dead this last weekend. Supergirl is out now, so we'll probably discuss Supergirl a little bit. We're going to be talking about some ways that the gaming world is screwing over its most loyal fans. We're going to be talking about DLC and season passes, and it's a loaded episode. We also have a very active chat this show. If you want to hang out and enjoy the fun with us, you can check us out on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. And then you can hang out, watch us tape the show live. It's not as geared towards interaction as our Saturday show is, but you can still just hang out with us, see how the show works behind the scenes. And a lot of times we'll ask questions. And if you guys say something really enlightening or awesome, it will get shared on the show. But, you know, we got to cater to the podcast fans, the people who just want to listen to the audio version and don't get the benefit of seeing our beautiful faces. Also, if you're in the Sacramento area, you're going to want to go to the Sat Gamer Expo on December 13th. But enough of promotion. Let's get to this week's
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the ish gets real.
Shot during the day?
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here. You are listening to Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one gaming podcast, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And Corsair Gaming, come sail away with us. Now, this is an interesting show because I get to do something I've never been able to do before, and it sounds and feels so amazing so far. I get to basically be a bum. I get to basically cosplay as Aaron, the show, and see what it's like.
Impossible.
To just show up and have everything ready for you.
Also impossible.
Because, why, Aaron?
Do you think I show up and everything's already ready?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's ready all the time.
Yeah.
The reason for this, I'm actually getting to sit at a different chair. I get to see everyone's beautiful faces. I get to experience this as a panelist. Because this weekend, for Aaron's Video Game Bang Live on Twitch, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be in Seattle, Washington, living it up without these losers. And we went through everybody in VGB and said, who's the person that can take the helm, run the mantle while I am gone, while the king is away from the castle? Who's going to step up? And it was David Ng, everybody. So David Ng, running the ones and twos. So we'll introduce you first, man. How's it going?
Going great, man. I'm glad to be on the show again. Now, glad you guys finally needed me for once.
We always need you, David. Let's see. So we had a little mishap at the beginning, but the
only running the ones today is not the twos.
Yeah, he's running the ones.
Well, now you're running the ones and twos.
I mean, this is a craft I've honed over 3 years. David's pretty much mastered it in a week, but he got his mistake out of his system. So basically what happened is we got through maybe 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah, a little bit.
10 minutes. And then we realized David says, stop, wait, pause. We're not recording.
No, my favorite part was...
Is that important?
How does the recording work?
But here's the thing. To realize that only about 8 to 10 minutes in, that's a good sign. because everybody's going to make mistakes. You listen to any of your favorite podcasts, they blow it. And he's just getting his out of the way before the big show on the weekend. Hosting that show is going to be the man to my left, who I can actually see his entire beautiful glasses face.
Wow.
Aaron, how you doing?
I am doing splendiferous.
Oh, wow. You're making up words now.
Splendiferous is actually...
It's not the first one for today.
No, it's not in the Merriam-Webster's.
It's on...
And he would know because he's the web of that.
It's on Urban Dictionary.
That's not a recognized dictionary.
It's recognized in the urban community. So.
I do not acknowledge this.
David takes all the jokes and...
And adds a stupid...
Amount of
logical,
fact to him.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
this is my life.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
Feel very sorry for my girlfriend.
Do you take your girlfriend hiking? You guys...
Yeah, we go hiking.
Oh, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
And also, I'm just going to go ahead and lead that one right because I don't know where it's going. Nice segue, Aaron. Speaking of long walks in the mountains, David Webb, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Now, there's some controversy going around right now because you advertise yourself as the real David Webb. However, there is a realer David Webb, apparently.
A realer.
The black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The black dude who's like a big national radio superstar. Do you have to forfeit the name at any point?
No. No, Jack. he never advertised himself as the real David Webb. Huh. So I advertised myself first as the real David Webb.
So what happens if you guys meet and look at each other in the eyes?
Worlds collide.
David wouldn't look at him in the eyes.
He's hella taller than me, so.
You've looked into this guy. Like his attributes. I just went to his website for a few seconds. I didn't look to see how tall he was.
I just assumed. I mean, I just assumed he was tall.
Because he's black. Wow. Yep. Is that why?
All black exactly people why. Usually are tall, right? Yeah, so that's what's going on.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. My family is giant, so I couldn't even. Yeah.
So we have a great show. We have a special guest lined up, a guest interview at about the 30-minute mark with Greg Weissman. Aaron, have you ever heard of Greg Weissman?
Yeah, he's the co-creator of Gargoyles.
Yes, Gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
Yeah, Gargoyles.
Yep.
Gargoyles.
And then from that spawned Gargoyles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also wrote on Young Justice.
Greg Royals. We cannot say it today.
It's hard.
Gargoyles.
Gargoyles. Garbles. Are hard.
What, did you enjoy the Gargoyles franchise? Because I know I did.
Loved the Gargoyles franchise.
You loved it. I bet you loved all three seasons.
All seven seasons in a movie.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, trending folks.
Why actually, did they make a movie?
He was actually the co-creator of that. He wasn't just a writer, and he does writing and producing on Young Justice and the Star Wars.
Force Unleashed?
No, not Force Unleashed. What's the series? What's the animated series?
Rebels?
Rebels. That's the one.
He Rebel does.
Oh, the new one?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's and actually got a little buzz.
He does writing for the Marvel comic now, too.
Ooh, which one?
Kanan.
Kananites?
Kanan, the last Padawan?
He's the last Padawan. He actually survived the
Order 66.
Anakin.
Wait. Killed everybody. So is it Kanan?
Yeah, it's Kanan.
So theoretically, movie?
I'll ask him.
All right, yeah. That's what we need.
I promise you, I will ask that question.
I'll ask him.
We better not let Webb talk to him. I fear, yeah, we're not going to let Webb talk to him. David Ng, make sure that happens.
Actually, right. I'm I got pretty the much controls. The only one we're that's been able to say gargoyles
you
consecutively.
Have.
That's
you
pretty
have.
Good.
So
that's pretty good. What was the main character's name?
David Ng, how you doing
today?
I'm doing great, man.
I haven't watched that show in years.
Come on, it doesn't matter.
Decades.
Literally the only one that actually had a name.
Jeff.
Goliath, sir. Good Lord.
Oh, Jeff the Goliath.
The rest of them had their names made when they woke up from stone.
Yeah, it was a great series. I can't wait to talk to him about that. That was like in that golden era of that was Fox, right? That Fox cartoon.
I think it was
right
say,
there
yeah.
with
like the
Spider-Man,
X-Men.
Oh man!
And to compete with those cartoons, you had to be a legitimate cartoon, especially a new IP. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, really. But they had awesome voice acting, though. That's the whole thing with it too. The guy who voice acted Goliath, oh my gosh, black dude, and I can't believe I'm blanking on his name.
Kanye West.
He also did Saints Row 1. He was in There's Something About Mary. He played the black dad.
Kobe.
I don't remember.
Okay, but yeah, he did an awesome job as Goliath, and I wish he like did more voiceover work because he's really good. Yeah,
so we're going to talk to him at the 30-minute mark, but before that we're going to get into some news stories, and one is it's a franchise that's really jumping and grabbing me and becoming one of my favorites. Street Fighter 5
Street Fighter V announced its final character for the original lineup.
For the, oh, what?
For the, yeah, they're doing 16 characters in the first, game launches.
Okay, okay.
They actually put a date on it. It's going to come out February 13th, I think, or 16th.
Ooh, so 6 days after my birthday.
Yeah. That's a good way to remember it. And it's coming out earlier than people expected, so that means the beta must have did really well. They're on time, good sign for the game. And Dhalsim, last character added. And they did the same thing they did with Bison, and they aged him a bit. Yeah. They gave him the white beard. They cut, of all the characters I've seen, his moveset looks pretty unique. I mean, he's always been a unique character, but...
He's got all the yoga flames still. I like that they gave him that one that shoots on the floor.
Yeah.
We called it the yoga mat. It's pretty cool.
Did you? It's a good name. Is that what they really call it?
I don't know. But me and Jerry watched it and we were like, yeah, that's clearly the yoga mat. Like,
if it wasn't that then, it is now.
Yeah. We're, yeah.
Get it trending. Hashtag yoga mat.
Hashtag yoga mat.
And his, I don't know, do you call it ults?
Yeah.
That's what I've been calling every ulti. Special move from every game. Where he like expands his stomach with the flame and then does the giant ball. That's freaking sick. Yeah. He looks good.
He seems like a really fun character to play. They also kind of announced that the first year the game comes out, every 2 months they're going to give a new character.
Okay, cool.
And you don't have to buy the character. You can actually do it with in-game currency.
Yeah, and I like that. We talked about that on an old episode where it was either buy the character right when they come out or actually play the damn game. Like God intended to everybody, and unlock the freaking character again, like God intended for freaking video games to be done.
I'm pretty sure it was a commandment in the Bible.
Yeah.
Thou shalt unlock video game characters by playing the game.
But like, do you think they'll stick to that, or will they go the road of Mortal Kombat?
I'm hoping they're trying to make it a League of Legends type hybrid.
Or they just keep adding characters.
They keep adding characters, yeah. And because you can buy them, just like League, you can buy them right out the gate, or if you save your in-game currency. I'm thinking they might make the in-game currency a little bit more difficult to stack up than maybe we're all thinking.
Okay.
But Street Fighter lends itself to being played like...
A lot.
A lot, yeah. So I think that it might be a tough thing. It'll be like, 500 games, and then you'll be able to unlock, you know, Ken's brother Sten or something like
Sten?
That. Sven.
You're really... That's why guy. Greg Weissman is a writer, yeah. Not you.
But he doesn't write for Street
Ryu's
Fighter.
Ryu's brother, Briu?
Yeah. Bro-Yu, yeah.
Bro-Yu.
Okay, you're a little better than me, apparently.
He wears a visor. Bro.
I do want to see... would you rather see the first DLC character be an original or somebody all new?
Considering how many new characters there are and the fact that they did already give us like a nice little grip of new characters, I wouldn't mind seeing a familiar face.
I want that too. I want Sean from Street Fighter Alpha.
That's
what I want. His sister.
Yeah, his sister.
But I want him.
Gross.
I watched a whole thing where somebody was saying why he's kind of important to the series. Like a video on YouTube, and I was like, actually, it makes a lot more sense, you know, than I thought. And I didn't know originally he was supposed to be the only, they were going to have Ken or Ryu in the game. It was just supposed to be him, and he was supposed to kind of represent that.
Wow, yeah. He's gonna. Wow, that's interesting. All right,
it was supposed to be like the passing of the torch type of thing.
The more you know. Yeah. That's why we have you on the show, Aaron.
Wow.
I am really looking forward to the game regardless. I've pre-purchased it, which I told myself I wasn't going to do, but then immediately if you take $13 off, I'm in.
Really?
Yeah. I got it for $13 cheaper because there was some sale on a website called Green Man Gaming. So they took like 20%. I got it. That also, the beta played a huge factor in that too because I really wanted to be in that beta. And it performed. Did you get a chance to play it?
I didn't get a chance to play the beta, no. Unfortunately, I did not.
It's familiar enough to where I think people who are really good at Ultra Street Fighter 4 will probably make a pretty easy transition, but it's also different enough to where if you're on the bubble, you can probably jump in there.
Okay. I'm somewhat familiar with Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, a little bit.
At least the black characters.
All the black characters.
Undefeated.
With
I think you got defeated a few times.
With all the black characters? Exactly.
You got beat with black characters.
No.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
I'll beat you after
go
this
back
podcast.
And watch the stream.
After the podcast, I will beat off all the black characters.
I bet he will. Bet he will.
I'm going to bounce pretty quickly after the podcast is over.
Yeah, I think that's my cue to go.
Anything more on Street Fighter you guys want to talk about? We got new characters every 2 months, in-game currency. They're going to reward you for doing, like, tasks. That's a pretty popular thing to do.
What tasks?
Like in Smite, like when you log on, win 3 games
okay.
this game mode or something like that. They're going to do that.
A lot of games are going that route now.
I like it.
Can you spend real money on emotes?
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
All right, he's done. He's obviously a troll today. let's go to last night. Yeah, so Webb came over last night. We shot a video comparison of two microphones. We compared the microphone on the Astro A40TR gaming headset, which I actually reviewed that for Nerd Reactor. It hasn't gone up yet, but spoiler alert, I gave it a 5.
Wow, so there's nothing they could do better, huh?
No, okay. I truly believe that this is the bar that I will hold the rest of my headset reviews to.
Okay.
And
what's so special?
The modular aspect to it is really cool. The fact that when you buy it, it comes with microfiber cushions, microfiber on the top, just a regular microphone, a standard microphone, and open back.
Okay.
So open back and closed back, are you familiar?
Yes, because I came over here with headset that you had where you can pop off the...
TR. That's the...
Oh, okay, well then, yeah, okay.
So, open back, essentially, if you guys don't know, it's means you can hear more of the room noise. So, if you're in the middle of a hardcore game session, you can still hear the ding of your microwave oven when your Totino's pizza rolls are finished.
Terrible.
That's what that's for. But then, if you buy the mod kit... It gives you a whole new set of pieces to add on. You get a leather cushions for more sound isolation. The earphone tags actually have a rubber gasket, so you're holding all the audio in to your headphones. The microphone is more heavy duty. It has a bidirectional noise canceling into it. So
does it have some type of mute feature on there?
Oh, yeah. On the cord, though.
On the cord? Okay. Volume on the cord, too?
No, volume through the mix amp.
Through the mix amp?
Yeah, the mix amp pro. They totally rehauled it. It's all digital. What you playing every time? That's the first time it ever truly got me. Touche.
Terrible.
Touche, what you playing? I have to abide by the rules. I'm not above the rules. I am not God in podcasting, even though people call me that all the time.
No.
I'm just a normal man. When the show's over... I put on my pants just like I never wear pants during the show. I should fully disclose that.
It's very scary.
Yeah, it's very scary. Yeah. There's a lot of hair, mismanaged hair.
That's true.
But I have to abide by the rules. So we're going to start with Mr. Aaron Carter. What you been playing?
That's a tough one, too, because I guess I went back to Borderlands 2 for a little while.
Every time I see you on Steam. Wydeck is playing Borderlands 2.
Yeah, I play a little bit of that. It's good. I don't know. It's good. I actually tried to play it like I used to play it with my Commando or whatever, but I got the DLC and everything. I got the Game of the Year edition, so I started a Mechromancer, and I just forgot how fun the Mechromancer is. Like, it's just a good class to play.
You know, the Mechromancer, I think, is where... No, they gave that one away for free, didn't they?
That one was for free with the pre-order, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with the pre-order, yes.
That was cool. Where I fell out of love with Borderlands as a franchise was when I was a sucker and I subscribed to the season pass, and it was going good for a little while. We were getting, you know, the content. And then in the middle, in between season passes that I had purchased, they released the Psycho character.
But did you want to be the Psycho character?
Well, I wanted the option. I paid a bunch of extra money to get all the content in the first season. This came out in the first season, and I didn't get my damn character.
He was actually pretty fun to play.
Oh, well, see, I've heard the opposite
and
from Steven.
Salt in the wound.
Well, he was
difficult to play, right? Because didn't he take his own health or something like that?
Yeah, some of his moves took his own health. His melee attack was really powerful, but every now and then it would just hit yourself with it.
Oh, it was like a random?
Yeah, it was like a 10% chance or something.
That's dumb.
See, that's what killed me. There's so many issues plaguing video games right now, the industry, I mean. And
I've known that.
That's what kicked me in the nuts. But you're enjoying it? Are you playing it solo, or you got a crew?
Playing, whoever gets on. I mean, there's a couple of people. I'll be doing it for the stream sooner or later. And, besides that, Smite, I just literally, as I'm driving home today, Jerry tells me that Smite's going to have a new game mode coming up soon.
What do we got?
I don't know.
ARAM?
I texted him back saying, give me the details, and then it just went dark. So I have to wait till I get home to friggin' figure out what the hell.
Will you be upset if it's just a rehash of something League of Legends has already done, like ARAM or what's the other one?
I have confidence that Smite will do something a little unique. Cause, I mean, they have their 3v3. They have that on League, right?
3v3? 3v3, yeah. And one lane, I think.
Yeah, well, does it have like the three kind of sides or just one?
Does it have a jungle is what he's asking.
Yeah, oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, well, see, I mean, they do that on Smite. They also have the 4v4 where it's kind of two-lane type of thing in a jungle. So I'm confident they'll do something a little unique. But, yeah, and they have ARAM already.
They already do.
They already have that,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, God, I hope they don't just keep ripping things off. All right, David, what you been playing? Ing.
Oh,
like wow. I did that?
Oh,
wow.
I like being on this side of the table because I can see his face when I burn him.
Jeez.
Is that burn?
It's not really a burn.
Yeah,
I don't think it was.
There comes Technical Dave with it. It was.
Well, you know.
Technically, there was only three pronouns in the sentence. So.
It wasn't a haiku burn.
So let's see what I've been playing. I have not been playing a whole lot. I've been playing some of the Magic Origins. That's pretty much it.
We did a big unboxing this week.
We did a big unboxing.
That could count as what we're playing.
Does that count?
Yeah.
It's not really a video game, though. So I was kind of reluctant.
There's video game adaptations, so let's talk about it for a minute.
But you didn't play the video game adaptation.
So we did the unboxing. We got the booster pack box of the new Battle for Zendikar set from Wizards of the Coast.
36 boosters?
36 boosters. I've never held so many booster packs in my hand at once.
It was very awesome.
It felt amazing. I was so excited to open those.
We did it live on Twitch. You can check the video archived on YouTube, or I believe it's still in our Twitch feed of past videos. We had very good luck.
Yeah, I'd say so. Took us about 2 hours to open them all, and we got two of the three planeswalkers from this set, and we got two or three of the big Eldrazi creatures.
We got one of the really big ones.
The biggest Eldrazi creature.
Yeah.
The Ceaseless Hunger. I forget.
Olamog
or something. Yeah. Which is just amazing.
10 costing creature comes out. If he attacks, you have to exile 20 cards or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So when he attacks, you exile 20 cards. And as soon as he comes out, you exile two permanents.
Oh,
so you,
wow.
As soon as you play him, you get to pick your opponent's two strongest creatures and just exile them instantly.
Gone.
Yeah.
Ceaseless Hunger. And then at the very end, I mean, we had a pretty good viewing for just a regular, what was it, Thursday night or Tuesday night?
Yeah, we had like 10 people or so.
It fluctuated, and then they were pretty quiet. They'd chime in every once in a while if there was a question. And then at the end, the final booster pack, did you slap your face with it?
Nope, I didn't.
Oh, wow, okay. I was having a good streak of luck by slapping my face with the booster packs.
I don't know what the hell's going on here.
And then kissing the booster pack, then we'd open it.
I don't know what the hell's going on
here. And I was pulling good cards. The last booster comes up. David is going through it, and he goes, oh, cool, a shiny land. And then he goes, proceeds on to talk about his rare in the group. And I just love shiny land, so I'm like, oh, let me see it. And then before he hands it over, he looks at it, and he's like, huh, no, it's got like a – it's full art too, and it's got a logo on it. What the hell is this? And then everyone in chat, did they just get an expedition land? Oh, my God, that's super rare. Rip it in half. Like, people just started going
rip
nuts.
It in half?
I can't believe these assholes don't know what it is.
Like, yeah, I couldn't believe how much everyone exploded on that.
They were
the internet.
Because it's like, they were saying it's like a 1 in 6 chance that you'll find it
in a box.
In a box.
Yeah, it's a 1 in 6 boxes.
Wow. So it's like 1 out of 180 or like almost 200 like booster packs, you'll find one.
That's more impressive than 1 in 6.
Yeah, I was gonna say 1 in 6.
No, I mean the whole box
is
like
the
36.
Yeah, so when you explain it, 1 in like 180 boosters.
So half a percent chance that you'll open one of those.
And
it's apparently like an $80 land.
Yeah, they were saying that when the set first came out, it was up at 400.
Wow.
And then now it's like at 80.
Because they reprinted it for this set, so it brought the value down.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's just a land.
The lands are the most expensive cards.
That's sad.
Or cards that affect land.
Yes,
like the Lotus cards and stuff all have to do with adding your mana pool. Because where there's mana, there's power.
I have that on a t-shirt.
I'm so glad that I'm out of that that life.
So that was fun. David Webb, what do we got?
Fallout 3.
Nice. Here we go. Bring it back, Webb. Let's go. What are you doing?
Well, let's see. Where am I right now? I am... Oh, I know. stuck in a damn tunnel trying to get to the Museum of Technology.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good part.
Yeah,
that
is a good
museum.
Yeah.
That's pretty early in, isn't it?
It's like halfway.
Here comes David Downer.
It's pretty early, yeah. Well, actually.
You've been playing for like 3 weeks and you're only about 5% done with the story, huh?
No, I mean, I'm not going to say that's bad because like Fallout's one of those games where you get sidetracked really easily.
Oh, yeah.
But like in the main quest, it's not that far along, I don't think.
And this is how it happened. So I was pretty damn close to that point already. And I got stuck. I went out a door outside of the Galaxy News Radio. Went out a side door. And there were feral ghouls out there.
Like always, yeah.
Like always. And right before I went out there, I had put a whole bunch of stuff in a locker so I can have plenty of inventory space.
You put your best gear away?
No. I didn't realize how much ammo I put away. So then I go out and I blew through all my ammo. And I got stuck out there because it's a one-way door. I couldn't go back.
Leave it to Webb.
So
blow your load early.
That's I'm like, cool. Get it?
Damn.
Because it means you're not potent. Okay, continue.
So I was like, okay, that's no problem. I'll just go back to the last save point. So I go back to what I think is the last save point, but in reality, it's pretty damn near close to right after I come out of the vault, and I'm in.
Oh my god!
Megaton.
So you started over.
So I pretty much started completely over.
Awesome.
Yeah,
you should be saving a lot in that game. Like by the time
all day,
done,
every day.
Now
yeah.
I am.
Like
now
by the
I
time
am.
I was done, I had like thousands.
Just set like save, an alarm save. So every hour you save.
I'm gonna treat it like I do, like when I'm doing work, like graphic design. Just save. Every time I do something big, I'm gonna save.
Yeah. Save it three times in a row, just to be sure.
Just to be sure, but I can't get past the damn. What are they called? They swim underwater and then they get out. They look like. Giant crab.
Oh, yeah,
things.
They look like the horseshoe crabs.
Yeah.
Were they Merlot?
Mir something.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, something like that. I can't get past them.
You shoot them.
That's shoot how you get past right in them. The little face.
Yeah.
The little tiny face.
I don't think I have a strong enough gun.
Or just run.
Yeah, or run.
Running does work. Option. You can make it through without killing anything.
Yeah. There are quite a few times when I have just kind of snuck around things.
No, not sneak.
Ran.
Just run. Just run.
Yeah, just run.
Yell the whole time so they hear
don't
you.
Don't break your leg, though, because then you'll be in trouble.
Bear trap. Got me.
Oh, man. That's,
oh, well,
that's
you
got to
do your little trick.
Yeah, it looks like you're in witness protection.
You
got to
take
right
your hat off is what you got to do.
Yeah, that white.
No, it's the chalkboard. Because Larissa doesn't wear a hat.
It's the contrast.
So what I've been playing is, here's the deal. We were supposed to play.
You're good.
Me and Webb were going to play a little bit of Halo 5 yesterday. He came over, we shot a video, the comparison video of the microphones on the headset, and then we shot that like five times. And then we decided, all right, let's play some Halo 5. You know, we set it to download like an hour before he got there. We go back out to the TV, it's like at 20%.
And how big is it again?
It's like 55 gigs.
Jeez.
It's a large freaking game. So we were like, fuck it. Let's just play Halo 4 and stream it, and then it'll get done eventually. Nope. By the time we finished the night after streaming for about 2 hours, it was at 40%.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked online. It seems to be a popular thing. And it's just hit or miss. Completely random. A lot of people were having the same problem, but then Webb takes it home and installed it in less than an hour.
Less than an hour. I put it in. I left the room for 5 minutes, came back, and it was at 45%. It had gotten to the same point in 5 minutes. At my place that took 5 hours to get to here.
And we use the same internet provider on the same plan.
But you do live in
we're
two
in
different
neighborhoods.
Cities.
We live in, yeah, so we have two different speeds
cities.
Of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I have a faster internet tier than you do.
You do?
Yeah, up
Ooh.
To 70.
Ooh.
Up to 70 what?
Up to 70.
Megabytes.
Megabittles?
It goes up that high? I pay for over 100.
Regularly.
You paid for
I've never
100.
Heard of these
you,
numbers
no,
before.
No, you pay for up to
yeah.
100.
He paid for
key difference. Yeah.
I'm going to go to a speed
wow.
test right now.
And
but,
while we're doing that.
it was kind of fun. You know, what's really disappointing is that Halo 5 took away split screen.
Yeah, I was
so
reading
no
that.
Couch co-op,
yeah.
huh?
No couch co-op whatsoever, whether you're online or offline. That was like one of the best parts of Halo.
Yeah, it was my favorite part. I mean, that's what I did. I went over to my friend's house. We played Halo. We just ran through the storyline on the first one, just back to back every time.
Yeah.
And then even when you're done with that, it was how many games anymore let you do split screen multiplayer?
Not too many.
Very
yeah.
rare.
I mean, it's the age of the internet, though. They're trying to slide everybody over to that. Yeah, man.
There is a device, and I'm blanking on the name of it. I can look it up, but it's going to basically imitate that the split screen thing, and it's basically a picture-in-picture type of thing. But I'm pretty sure you need to have
two boxes though to run that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg Weissman, he is the co-creator, writer for Gargoyles, the classic animated series from our childhood. Our childhood. I don't know about yours. Some of you people are pretty old. He also done some writing on... don't like give me that look. Because Aaron was like 20 when the thing came out. He did work on Star Wars Rebels. He did work on the Star Wars comic book. He also has a couple novels of his own that we're going to talk about. So without much further ado, here he is. Welcome to the show, Mr. Greg Weissman.
Great to be here.
You've been in the industry for quite a while. You've done. You've got your name attached to iconic series like Gargoyles, Young Justice, and the Spectacular Spider-Man.
I've done Young Justice. I did the Spectacular Spider-Man. I produced both those shows with partners. I also produced a season of Star Wars Rebels. I produced a season of Max Steel, a season of Witch. And I've written freelance on a number of series. And yes, I created and produced Gargoyles.
So what's that like? Because Gargoyles for me was like, I remember it was big in the day. It was on my watch list as a kid, and then it kind of went away. And then I feel like Gargoyles has had a resurgence within just the last couple of years. Have you been noticing the same thing?
Well, I guess it depends what you mean by resurgence. I mean, the fans have been loyal and have been there all along. We used to have for years annual Gargoyles convention, which was great. We stopped that in 2009. But from 1997 to 2009, we had this annual convention. The fans have sort of always been there. We've got the third DVD set out this past year, so that was a big sort of get for us that we were pushing for a long time. Prior to that, for a long time, we over 10 years or so, we had the DVD set of season one, which was 13 episodes. But season two was 52 episodes, so they did that in two volumes. Well, they released the first volume again like a decade ago, but they only just released the second volume this past year.
What do you think is the fans' connection with it? What do you think made it stand the test of time? Because that's a big deal. Not every cartoon that gets produced, especially one that's not already tied to a major intellectual property, gets that much attention that far removed from its air date.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I like to think it was just a great show. I mean, we had a phenomenally talented group of writers, a phenomenally talented group of artists working on the show, a terrific voice cast led by Keith David as Goliath and Sally Richardson Whitfield as Elisa, Bill Fagerbakke, Tom Adcox, Jeff Bennett, Bridget Bacco. You know, the list goes on and on. It was just really a phenomenal project to be a part of. And I think the quality of it holds up. I mean, you look at the show now, and with the exception of the fact that there are no cell phones, because we did it in the early 90s, you know, it could be going on today. And it's very current. It's a very diverse show. I think we were ahead of our time on the diversity level, both thematically and otherwise. Our female lead was half African-American, half Native American cop who saved Goliath as often as Goliath saved her.
Yeah, that's true.
And just generally, we were pretty racially diverse in the show and culturally diverse as well. We had episodes set in Africa, Asia, and South America, and tried to bring in mythologies from all these different areas.
Has that been a big deal to you in your writing? Because I know that that is a hot topic for in all fields, even television, cartoons, video games.
there's a lot of talk about writers and the lack of diversity. Do you intentionally go out to make more diverse characters and diverse storylines like that, or is it just something
I
that
do,
organically
actually.
Happens?
It's been a priority for me, at least since Gargoyles, probably before that when I started in comic books. In fact, I know before that when I started in comic books. But certainly since Gargoyles, that's been a major priority for me. It's something I've pushed for in every show that I've done. And just trying to expand the number of voices that come across on these shows so that it better reflects the world that I see as opposed to, you know, the world of television or comics or movies that I grew up in, which was almost exclusively Caucasian.
Does that provide struggles for you? Like, has it ever hindered a project you've worked on because of the way people consume media? Like, have you ever made things and it doesn't go over as well as you think it would have if someone did the easy thing and made them all white characters?
No, it's never even come close to damaging a project that I've worked on. I will say that I've gotten pushback more than once, times when I've, for example, even in the late 90s, you know, I was working on a show and gave it made the lead African-American. And I got pushed back from the production company saying, no, he has to be Caucasian.
No way.
And that stuff happens even today. And I just think it's sad, you know, and their fear is that if you do that, you know, if you have the African-American lead, then no one will come watch it. And I just think that's ridiculous.
What do you think about, like, I actually have been watching videos and reading articles about this very specific topic, too, so I'm really excited this came up. Sometimes it's hard for someone who is Caucasian or white to write accurately for a character who's black or some other religion or race. So how do you do that but stay true without, you know, giving it the white perspective that you've grown up with?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, honestly. I mean, obviously one of the other things that needs to happen is you need more voices behind the camera, so to speak, as well. And I think that helps a lot, but I wouldn't tell a black writer, don't write any white characters any more than I'd want someone telling me not to write a black character or a brown character, or to write a woman or someone with a different sexual orientation or something like that.
Yeah.
I like to think that I can put myself in the shoes of other people and do at least a decent job of imagining what their life could be like. And it's imagining it. I'm not pretending that I know it, but I'm doing the best I can. And I figure it's still better to make the attempt than not to. And I think in general, I've been successful at it because of the feedback I've gotten. The feedback's anecdotal, but, you know, lots and lots of people have come up to me over the years, you know, women of color who watched Alisa when they were kids and said that character meant a great deal to me. And other characters like that in Young Justice and other shows that I've done, Spectacular Spider-Man, whatever, you know, in general, the feedback I've gotten along those lines has been highly positive. Aqualad, for example, the new version of Aqualad that we created for Young Justice, or our inclusion of Rocket and Icon in Young Justice, or the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle, or that kind of thing. I think that stuff matters. I don't think it's insignificant.
You've done so much work in comic books and animation. Have you ever taken a shot at writing for video games?
I actually have written a few video games. One was I worked on Young Justice Legacy.
Okay.
I worked on the dialogue for that. I didn't write it, but I edited it. And I contributed and participated in coming up with the story for Young Justice Legacy. And then I've also written two or three other video games that just didn't get made. For whatever reason, that's above my pay grade why it didn't end up going forward. I got paid, so I wasn't too upset. But, you know, at the end of the day, they just didn't make them. You know, the caveat is always that, you know, I'm not much of a gamer myself. So I don't have a lot of experience in that area. Whereas, you know, I watched a lot of cartoons. So I don't necessarily think watching a lot of cartoons is enough to make you a good cartoon writer.
Uh-huh.
And I don't necessarily think that not playing a lot of video games disqualifies you from being a video game writer. But, you know, it's not the first thing people think of when they think of me.
Are you allowed to discuss? Are you allowed to discuss what games you did writing for?
You know, I don't think I am, since they didn't get made. I don't think that's a good idea. But one was for a very big company, I mean, really big. And another was for a medium-sized company that you also would have heard.
That's amazing.
They just, you know, for various reasons didn't get made. And again, I don't even know what the reasons were. They just pulled the plug on them.
So you do writing for comic books right now, and actually a franchise that's, you know, it's always been big, but it's exploded recently with Star Wars. Everyone's hyped about the new movie coming out in December. You are working on the Star Wars Kanan series. That is for Marvel, Marvel Comics. Sure. And what's that been like, being a part of a franchise that has just, I mean, you've written for big franchises right now, but the hype and the hysteria going on, I mean, it's hysteria at this point with Star Wars. What's that doing for you?
Well, Star Wars Kanan has been a blast. It's been a lot of fun. And that emerged right out of the Star Wars Rebels television series that I was one of three executive producers on the first season. And I've since left Rebels, but I do remember generally, you know, that's a lot of pressure. Being on Rebels was like, you know, Rebels was the first new Star Wars property that Disney was putting out since buying Lucasfilm. And there was a lot of pressure, both internal and external, to make sure that Rebels felt like Star Wars, and that it lived up to the franchise. I like to think we succeeded in that. I think the show's turned out great, and fans seem to enjoy it, at least the ones who've checked it out. Then, you know, Kanan was one of the leads of the show. And I had left the show by that time, but they came to me and said, would you like to do this Star Wars Kanan miniseries? And I said, yeah, definitely. So originally it was just going to be 5 issues, but I guess it was doing so well, or early sales were so hot on it, that they decided to make it a monthly book. And so I'm currently writing issue 12 of Star Wars Kanan now, and issue 7 came out today. It was released today. Really happy with how Kanan's turned out, and
that is so cool.
Excited now, for people to see the rest of these issues
with the Kanan story. Now, I was a fan of Star Wars. Obviously, I read novels and stuff, and then when the big Disney acquisition came over, they, you know, there's this big deal on what was going to be canon in the theatrical releases and what isn't. Is technically anything that's happening in the Kanan storyline or Rebels, is that fair game for the movies to draw upon?
In theory, it's canon. At this point out, you know, everything that the Lucasfilm Story Group does is canon. And, or at least that's my understanding. And so Rebels is definitely canon. Star Wars Kanan is definitely canon. Whether or not they choose to use that stuff in the movies, that's, again, a decision above my pay grade. But certainly it's available to them if they want it.
That's really cool. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about your novels. Now, this has got to be, like, your passion project, I'd have to assume, right? Because you do the cartoons. That's more of a pop culture thing. You know, people go nuts about that. Not too many people, I don't think, get too hyped on the books anymore. It's a, you know, it's a different form of media, and you've gone into it and you've made two books in a series that I believe is going to be three, right?
Nine.
Oh, it's a 9-part series. Okay. And then, so what's that like for you? Is that a nice big creative release for you?
It really is. When I was writing the books, it was great. When I wrote the second novel, Spirit of Ash and Foam, I was simultaneously working on Star Wars Rebels. And it was great, you know, as fun as Rebels was to work on, collaborating with a lot of people, there are a lot of different balls in the air to juggle, and it was great to sort of be able to take a break from that, work on something that was just me. Also, the subject matter is near and dear to my heart. It's basically taking the mythology of the Taino people, who were the indigenous inhabitants of the Caribbean, and bringing that into a modern context, much the same way Thor does with Norse mythology.
Okay.
And the mythology of the Taino is fascinating, and the stories are easily as interesting as Greek mythology or Norse mythology, and yet they're almost virtually unknown from a pop culture standpoint. So it was great because it felt like real virgin territory to me. These books, first book was called Reign of the Ghosts, and it's about a young girl named Rain Feet, who is of Taino descent, but knows nothing about her background, her ethnicity.
Okay.
Wasn't raised with these stories, and so learning them for the first time. And she lives and works in a bed and breakfast on a Caribbean island that to anyone else would be, an island paradise, but to her, it's just where she lives. And, she's already making beds for tourists and during the breakfast and cutting bait on her father's boat. And she just feels trapped. But then she finds out that she can communicate with the dead, that she's got a destiny to fulfill. She's got mysteries to solve. She's got a mission to complete. And it opens up this whole world for her. Again, as with all my work, it's a very diverse book, both culturally and in terms of character. And I just had a blast writing the first two books. And then what we've done with the first book is we've turned it into an audio play. It's not just a standard audio book where you've got one actor just reading the book out loud, doing all the characters, men, women, adults, children, etc. This is a unabridged, full cast recording with 20 actors playing 30 characters, a full original musical score. It's almost exactly 4 hours long, and we've got just under 4 hours of original music by the composers of television series like Young Justice, Protect the Spider-Man, Batman the Animated Series, etc.
Wow. So is this kind of like, do you feel like in a culmination, like you're making all these connections and this is your project? This is from beginning to end, creating this.
It really is. I mean, this was a passion project, not just for me, but for everyone involved. Everyone got paid, but no one got paid very much. So they were all sort of doing it to some extent out of the goodness of their hearts because they liked me and liked the project and wanted to be a part of it. We've got actors like that I've worked with before, like Ed Asner, again, Marina Sirtis, Brent Spiner. We've got from Young Justice, Blue Beetle, Eric Lopez, Brighton James, who played Static. We've got Vanessa Marshall, who's Hera on Star Wars Rebels, and Steve Bloom, who's Fab on Star Wars Rebels. It's just a really tremendous cast of talented people. And we finished. Production ended, and now we had a Kickstarter campaign. So our most immediate mission right now is to fulfill all those rewards for the Kickstarter donors. And then by the end of the year, the plan is to have the audio play available on audible.com. And if your listeners are interested, they can check out, they can get updates on the project at reignoftheghosts.com. So it's R-A-I-N of the ghosts, plural, reignoftheghosts.com.
All right. And be sure to read the subscription below of this podcast episode, and that link will be there for you guys. Well, Greg, I don't want to eat up all of your time. That was, it was great to talk to you. I think it's, if anything, what you've done in the industry has been awesome. For those very reasons we talked about before, and making diverse characters and doing it intentionally, that's something we can only hope that we see more of in comic books and video games and especially cartoons. Just thank you so much for your time. And if people want to get to know you a little bit better, they can find you. I know you have a Twitter and then another website. Where should they go?
You can find the easiest way to find me is on Twitter. I'm at Greg_Weissman. I'm also on Facebook. I've got two Facebook pages, like a fan page and a personal page. And so you can friend or follow me on Facebook. But I have to admit, I don't really understand Facebook. It kind of goes over my head. So I'm not that adept at Facebook. I'm much better at Twitter.
You know, that's how
I've had a website for almost close to 20 years now that where people can go and ask questions. And there's a huge back archive of questions I've answered over the last 10, 15, 16 years. That's at AskGregWeissman.com.
That's how I knew you were the real deal, Mr. Weissman. when I talked to you earlier and we were trying to get this thing figured out, I was like, oh, Skype. Yeah. No, he was like, no, I don't use Skype. I was like, Google Hangouts? Nope, don't use that either. I was thinking, this guy has got to be one of those old school, legitimate art, you know, lock yourself in a cabin and then just write stuff. Because to be where you're at as far as accomplishment.
I'm carving all my scripts on clay tablets.
Oh, man, that is awesome. Well, you are the real deal. I want to thank you so much for your time and spending it with us, and I encourage you guys out there to go check it out. I don't read, but even I, hearing that description, I'm really – my finger's on the trigger to get that audio because I don't read, but I will listen to the play. That sounds intriguing to me.
Well, I'll take that. You know, take what I can get. So that's great.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Greg.
Thank you. I had fun. Bye.
Yep, bye. All right, special thank you to Greg Weissman for taking the time out of his busy day to be on this show with us. A lot of good stuff there. I really like what he talked about, the diversity of the characters that he does intentionally. Aaron, I don't know if you were in the room or not. You probably weren't paying attention, but he was talking about one of the things that made Gargoyles such a hit was its attention to diversity at that time.
You know what? Now that you bring it up, yeah. Yeah.
For the time frame, she was the girl who was actually bailing.
She was mixed. She was black and Hispanic.
Indian?
Native American, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And Goliath was black, right?
Yeah,
giant
of course.
Giant purple black African gargoyle. Yeah. That's what he was. Yeah.
But oftentimes, she was the one pulling him out of trouble.
Often. Mainly during the daytime. Because he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So
stay away from that statue.
Yeah. And then the main villain Xanatos. I never saw him as a white guy. Like he looked like he was mixed too.
Yeah. He said. In the interview, he was talking about every project. He makes that a big point to make sure that all his stories are very diverse.
You know what? And I like the fact that he didn't over push it, because I can only remember like two episodes where they focused on her race. By showing her parents and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And every other thing was just like, you're a character. I like that. And I, you know what? I can honestly say that that has affected my writing too, because when I write my stories and stuff like that, I think the exact same way. Like, my main character is Asian, but I'm not going to push off like, oh, check out, he has a samurai sword. Like, no. He's just Asian. That's just who he is, you know. That's okay, whatever. It's, you know, the story, the situation is more important. That's cool. I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Weissman now. I'm a huge fan of Weissman.
I'm just
yeah.
pissed because I couldn't get a word in.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
I kept talking.
Well, I just knew you had that look in your eyes like you were going to ask him a trolley question. And you didn't even know the character. You didn't even know Goliath's name.
I did. It was Jeff the Goliath.
Jeff the Goliath.
Yeah, you guys didn't watch behind the scenes.
No.
VH1 behind the behind the show.
Could have happened.
Name two other gargoyles.
That's the one time that he has it, like, actually.
Could have happened. two other gargoyles. He said during the interview. Go ahead. It's very easy.
I stopped listening because Corey wouldn't let me.
Sleepy and grumpy.
Yep, all right, that was
it. Move on to the next one. So, if you guys have not been paying attention, I finally got my notification today from Bethesda that my controller is being shipped out to me.
Bethesda,
the Fallout
Maryland?
4.
My Fallout
controller.
4 wow. wired controller is on its way.
About the city of Bethesda.
And
I emailed them.
No,
the mayor.
Did you see? Have you been keeping up on this series of web videos called the What Makes You Special from Bethesda?
Oh, where they're showing kind of the Fallout special.
It's animated.
Yeah,
like old school cartoon.
Yes.
It's
black and white, right?
You've been playing Fallout. What does special stand for?
Strength. Crap.
Did you say, how do you spell special?
actually, it took me a second. Oh, crap.
Perception?
I can't wait to say perseverance. Perception?
Prescription?
Intelligence?
There you go.
Endurance.
Wait. Spell special?
He says special.
Yep.
Hold on. Give
so strength.
Okay. I didn't mean for this to turn into a...
Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be a quiz either.
Now it's a test.
Can you use it in a sentence?
What is the root word?
Root word.
Is there no...
What was Pete?
Let's just move to Aaron. Special. What's it stand for?
It stands for strength, perception,
endurance. Intelligence.
No. Charisma, right?
Webb really needs to learn how to spell.
Charisma.
Because this is just embarrassing.
Intelligence.
Luck.
I don't know what the A is. No, the L is luck.
Agility, right?
Agility.
Yeah, agility.
Yeah, because you know what? I never put anything in agility on Fallout.
Yeah, well, no one does.
Yeah,
doesn't
luck.
It help your reloading speed?
Does it?
I thought it did.
Hell if I know.
I've never played the game, though, and was like, oh, shit, I reload so slow.
I feel
and
that all the time.
L?
Luck.
There we go, luck.
I only put luck up to 7 or 6, I mean, just enough to get the Mysterious Stranger.
I boost all into charisma. It was actually a very cool series. Nerd Reactor has the whole collection of them in
on
one
DVD?
Convenient location. Oh. Yep, we're putting them all on DVD, and
okay,
we're selling
sweet.
Them for this low, low price.
Bethesda doesn't have
of 99 ball caps.
Yep. Now, have you made your decision yet, Aaron? Are you going to buy the Xbox One for this game?
I have not made my decision. I'm going to let the fans make the decision for me.
Hey, what are the options?
Xbox One.
Okay.
Xbox One.
Okay.
Hold your horses.
PS4.
Xbox One.
So is the...
Make your decision.
You're really a man of the people, aren't you?
I am a man of the people, for the people, and by the people. Thank you.
What else we got? There's a giant Sony conference going on in Paris?
France?
Paris, France.
Or Texas.
Paris, no, I'm pretty
Paris
sure.
Paris Hilton?
Pretty sure it's France.
Oh, well, you can hold a conference in Paris Hilton. Yeah, that it'll probably probably be terrible.
It'd probably be one night.
Yeah.
One night in Paris. I see what you did there.
Yep.
I guess they announced a lot of VR stuff. They're going full tilt, including the game that Larissa was streaming. I'm spacing on the name. What's this? The Fury, the Hayden Panettiere?
Oh, Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. Can you imagine that one, Aaron, in virtual reality?
They're making that 3D?
Yeah.
Interesting.
VR.
Oh, and there you have it.
I wanted to get Aaron's feedback. Which, is that something you'd play? Are you a scared type person? Do you get afraid of games?
It's tough. Like, I used to like horror games big time. Like, Lights Off, horror games, Silent Hill 1. When that first came out, I was all into it. And the jump scares and everything. Nightmares. Loved it. But then after a while, it was just kind of like not really scary because every game gave me a gun. Like, not just a gun, guns. So it's like if I got a weapon in my hand, nothing. They don't harken back to the old school. Like Silent Hill 1, you had one pistol, maybe a bullet.
And that's if you're lucky.
That's if you're lucky. Yeah. And we liked it, everybody. But if they can go back to some real hardcore and not just jump scares, I'm talking about like atmospheric scares, like psychological scares, like give me some real, real, you know, then yes. But, I don't know.
So if we're playing this one in VR, that means we get first person perspective, mm-hmm. and you get to play as Hayden Panettiere in the bathtub.
I'd just be looking down the whole time.
Yep.
Trying to blow the bubbles off.
The whole game would go by me the whole time.
The bubbles aren't falling off.
That's all of us would be doing. Yeah. Our wives would come in. You guys playing that game again?
Why are you Yeah. Why are your hands on your breasts?
Yeah. Just sitting there. Like, you know you can't feel it. It's a soup.
Don't ruin the magic.
Yeah.
So we got a topic from chat they want to ask about.
Is it the geopolitical climate change?
No, we're not going to talk geopolitical
climate change.
I'm
yes.
surprised that was
climate change.
Yeah, because it's going from hot to hotter.
It's hot.
Rwanda.
Now we're going to talk about, did anybody watch Supergirl?
I did not.
Wow, after all the hype.
I watched The Flash and Arrow, and then I totally forgot about Supergirl. Sorry.
Yep.
Did you watch it?
No. When was it? Was Monday?
Shit, I don't know. I didn't watch it.
So nobody in here watched it.
I don't really watch any TV, to be fair, though.
Wow. So we got a whole group of people on a geek podcast, and not one of us saw it.
I
got
to watch it tonight.
Is that a sign for bigger things? Do you think a lot of people didn't watch it?
No, I think a lot of people watched it.
I think a lot of people tuned into the first episode, but I don't know how they all perceived it.
I haven't heard good.
Exactly. I haven't heard hype. I haven't seen a bunch of reviews. It didn't set Twitter on fire. It didn't really do anything.
Well, to be honest, it's Supergirl. I mean, she's entertaining with the New 52 storyline, I think, that they gave her. But I haven't really looked into anything.
Wasn't
from her.
This episode that leaked? Though, like months ago,
that could be another thing.
I don't know. I think Gen Pop still haven't seen it. If we're talking about TV shows, this one's gonna be a touchy one, and I don't want to get too specific into things, but there was a major plot twist that just happened in the last Walking Dead.
No, there wasn't.
I saw so many people going, "I'm never watching this show again."
If you go back 20 episodes, Aaron Carter called it. So hard.
I don't think.
When I heard that, Steven told me this.
Steven told you what happened in the episode?
Oh, no, not Steven. I'm sorry. Not Steven. Jerry told me this. But they told me. And then I went up online and looked at it. And I was like, yeah, I freaking called it.
Okay, we got a lot of people in the chat saying do not say anything.
I didn't say
spoilers.
Anything.
We're not going to spoil it.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it.
And you guys probably know part of it already. Someone.
No,
because that's the kicker. That's the part that makes it interesting. Usually in The Walking Dead, when someone dies, it's final. Like it in the end of Talking Dead, they put their face on like this thing. They talk to the actor and give them a big send off. With this one, they didn't actually do any of that. They were just like, there was an official statement from the showrunner who was like, the story just isn't complete yet. He will make an appearance, whether it's in pieces or as a zombie or, you know, so.
That just means no one liked him. They didn't give him a send-off.
I don't know.
I called it.
Was it Jon Snow?
It was Jon Snow.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yep. Sorry, guys.
He gets stabbed by a whole bunch of zombies.
For the watch.
And they all say, for the watch. What's going on?
Here's the thing about that spoiler in The Walking Dead, though. We're not going to say the spoiler. Don't worry, guys.
It's Disney.
It's Disney. Disney dies. Essentially, I was so, like, it really, I can't even put it into words. I was upset and shocked and, like, in disbelief, you know, when it happened. So much so that I could not sleep that night without resolution of knowing whether this character is gone or whether they're staying. So I fished through a bunch of tabloid websites that had leaks of other things, and links to other articles, and I found out a definitive answer for myself, which I guess I won't share the result. But I love the show. The fact that it did that to me made me realize how great of a show it really is.
But does it?
Yeah.
Or does it just mean you've been attached to somebody for so long? And now they're gone.
And now that even though I know what's going to happen, I still want to see how it unfolds now. Like, it's not like a spoiler like other things were.
So what percentage do you think leaves watching this show now? Like, when Jon Snow caught his daggers, how many do you think, what percentage of
people? I think it's going to bring more viewers.
Really?
It's going to do a Ned Stark.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Ned Stark dies in everything, first of all. So everybody knew he was dead.
Sean Bean?
Yeah, Sean Bean dies in everything.
What? He's like the main character in Legends.
League?
No.
Oh, then I don't know what
the hell TV is. Show where like he's like a super show. Spy
it's like a
or
super
something.
Spy or something like that.
He's gonna die.
Yeah, eventually
TNT
he will
doesn't
die.
Do that though.
Give him one more season.
Give him one more season. One cannot.
That, I don't think that drew everybody in. I think there was a lot more to Game of Thrones that drew more people in. But what you're talking about with the Walking Dead, I don't think that's gonna draw people in. Where are we on season what of Walking Dead?
It's gotta be 4 or 5.
4 or 5, right? When did they kill Sean Bean?
Season 1.
Yeah. And that was it. So like that was done. That was saying, hey, you thought this was going to be this type of story. No.
Yeah.
And we're on to the next one. You can't do that season 5 and think, look what we did. Oh. Yeah, stop it. Stop it. You know when that show died? Season 1.
That's
awful. And it came back.
And a patent falsehood. What else we got people talking about in chat?
Actually, if we're going to go to the chat, could we go back up a little bit in chat? And Nissan Lover was able to resurrect their poetry.
So for people listening to the podcast, we do have a person who is a fan of the show on the Twitch stream that – actually, I should take it back. Not even a fan of the show. A fan of Aaron. This person made waves on our live show with their amazing poetry. This person is a poet. Did they just get themselves banned? Because if so, won't your home go away again?
Oh, no.
I think so.
Oh, no.
I think
I think it's gone. Nissan Lover,
uh-oh.
What'd you do? You're going to have your moment.
Through the awesome, awesome technology of Aaron Carter, I screenshotted the crap before it was deleted.
Aaron for the win. All right, Aaron,
good
would
call.
You like to read it in your sexiest voice?
Just that's terrible.
No, actually, that's been like the most number one request in the chat is really? Aaron needs to read this.
Out loud in...
Everybody was saying that.
In his dark chocolate voice.
I need to proofread it first.
Nope, just go. Full speed.
I don't think there's anything like the first couple of ones that we saw. I think it's fairly clean.
So then forgive me, for what's about to happen.
All right, here we go. So this is an original poetry piece written by, an active member of our chat on Twitch.
Okay. This is already hilarious. I walk into the storm of my mind to find what I truly desire. It rages and rips and tears my flesh to the bright snow-white bone. The storm breaks to an empty valley with a man standing with his arousing attire. The one that I crave stands before me. The milk chocolate pokey stick that enchants my dreams. He looks at me with his loving look of once lost lover and speaks with his voice of 1,000 thunderous gods.
God damn.
With his voice, he speaks 3 words. I am Aaron. That is something to behold.
God.
Wow.
Come on.
You know what? I'll give it up to Nissan because I literally can imagine that whole thing. And I was like, all right, I'm turning myself on here. And I'm touching myself tonight.
Oh, my God. If there's one thing.
Good thing you screen capped that for later then.
Yeah, I screen capped it because I kind of figured it was going to get like deleted somehow. So I was like, I'm not missing it a second time. So, you know.
If there's one thing Aaron loves, it is himself and other
very
people
much.
Talking about
very,
him.
Very true.
So
very true.
This is a
and everybody dream. In the world. I love everybody.
Nissan Lover, you push all of Aaron's right buttons.
Gross.
If someone is born in 1995, how old does that make them, Aaron?
Legally? Legal. They're,
it
they're
is
at
legal?
Least 20. They're at least 20.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Then you're
94
fine. You're not in trouble because it is
Nissan
Lover.
They're at least 19.
Yeah, at least 19.
It's Nissan Lover 95, so I just don't want to see Aaron go to jail over this thing.
Well, Nissan has already proclaimed that Nissan is a man, and, you know, while it's good for you, it's not for me. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
So what's been going on in your world, David Webb? Let me know, because you were playing. You've gotten to play Halo 5, I assume.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to play it.
It only took you an hour to install, and you didn't play it.
I gotta get up to go to work in the morning, dude.
Then I got a job, dude.
You guys wrapped the stream yesterday at like 11:30.
But this is Halo 5.
Yeah, but I drove. Then I had to drive back to Roseville.
Well, just for a point of reference, when we were playing Destiny,
Halo 4.
When we were playing Halo 4, I found myself comparing it directly to Destiny
the entire game.
And what I came to the realization is that Halo 4 is such a better game than Destiny.
It took you this long to realize that?
Well, given the age of the game, I never had to think about it in that perspective. I figured, you know, even though that Destiny's newer, so I didn't even really think to directly compare them. But the storytelling in Halo, like, we were just breezing through this game. We put it on Heroic because I was rusty. I didn't want to jump straight back into Legendary. We're playing through, and all of a sudden, you know, Webb's like, I think we're still on the first mission, you know, just because the story is so well put together, and you're just breezing through, and you're experiencing all this stuff. And then it turns out we were like 5 missions deep.
We're like halfway through the game.
Yeah, we were far through the game, and just like, and when cinematics would happen, that's the thing that Destiny just completely misses the mark on. There's no cinematic aspect to it. Halo, when you play it, it's like you're playing a movie. And I think that's what I've always liked about the series.
And I think what it is I'm so used to playing Destiny, and Destiny, there's a definitive end. It's like mission end, and then it's going to take you back to orbit. And you know it's ended. Whereas Halo, like you said, it's like you're playing a movie. And so it just kind of continues, and the cinematics blend in with, you go from a cinematic into gameplay, as opposed to from a cinematic to orbit to load to gameplay.
And that's what was kind of great, like what you said just kills it, all the orbit stuff and the going back to town and exchanging all your stuff, and it kind of, it's a killer.
You don't have to do that anymore though, the going back to town.
You can do really? It from wherever you're at.
You do it from wherever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing you have to go back is for like the quests, but those are larger. The bounties, you do it from wherever. As soon as you're done, you can go in and turn it in.
Well, that's a good little improvement, I guess.
Yeah.
Aaron, are you gonna play Destiny now?
Nope. I am disgusted with the game. Their microtransactions make me want to vomit like a pregnant woman in her first trimester.
That was almost as like a picture being painted as Nissan Lover's poetry.
If you'd like to think that, that's fine. I'm very good with my words.
You know what, though? That does bring up a good point that Corey said last night. Is that you are, because who said it? I think it was Ceramic was saying that they like playing the games for the games, and they're not a fanboy of companies. And you were saying that you like the companies. And so I think that's part of what turned you off to Destiny so much.
What do you mean, turned me off to Destiny? I was a huge Bungie fan.
But because of the way they handled the DLC and they handled the Taken King, that's about the time that you fell off the wagon, wasn't
it? I fell off the wagon. Here's the thing I think is the biggest issue in the game industry right now, and that is how game developers used to, back in the day, it felt like there was this aura of, we love our most hardcore fans, and we give them bonuses and boosts, and you come to our launches at midnight, and you'll get all this free swag and extra characters or costumes and stuff.
Right.
What back in the day are you talking about?
Talking about like back in, I remember going to a mall and waiting in line for Halo 3, and it was just a crazy fan experience. Like that was before the day of like the season passes and all the upselling.
But I'm talking about like what game era? Like what video game are you specifically like? Not specifically talking about, but give me an example of a game.
Halo 3.
Okay, so like Halo 3, though. I don't know, because I'm on his side on this one.
Yeah.
Complete game, though.
Yeah, it was a full game when it came out.
Right.
What they're doing now is this half piece of crap.
Yeah.
And then trying to fix it later. Like, when they made developers back then, when they made a game and they gave you all that swag and that extra little, you know, bells and whistles stuff.
It was a whole game.
When they handed you a game, yeah, it was a whole game.
And then after an appropriate amount of time has passed and they decide we're going to add more maps, they charge you $10, $10, $15 for extra maps. And you would do that a few times. If hardcores would drop that at no expense. It wasn't this. Now there's this huge push to basically take your most hardcore loyal fans and then just completely screw them for every dime you can get out of them. And then in 6 months to a year, people who didn't give a shit about your game, you just pretty much give them everything for a low price. And it gives you no incentive for me to actually go out there and buy a game day one. Like Halo 5, if you would have told me high school Corey playing, he's running a clan of 100 Halo 2 members, you know, in DOG and doing running tournaments and all this stuff. If you would have told that kid, Halo 5, you're not going to get a day one, I would have punched myself in the face. I would have refuted it. Of course, I'm going to die. I'm going to have a Halo-themed funeral.
And that's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how I felt, though. I loved the series. It was my jam.
Yeah, knowing Corey back in the day, he would totally have had a Halo-themed funeral.
I loved Halo.
Can you think of any game, though, like right now, that has consistently gotten better with each iteration and hasn't peaked out and been like, oh, well, number four was the best one?
I think the problem right now is the internet. The internet has made everyone lazy because every console or every machine is hooked into the internet so they can patch things later. And they don't have to have the full game at release.
That's a terrible, terrible thing. Terrible, terrible thing.
This whole thing felt like it started when they started doing on-the-disc DLC. To me, that is the most underhanded, dirtiest thing you can do as a game developer.
It's highway robbery.
You've already made the content. You know, the game is done. You put it, and you're going to put it on the disc and then charge someone money for it in 3 to 4 months.
It's as if somebody purchased a burger with pickles and they're like, you better not eat those pickles because we're going to charge you for them.
Those are DLC pickles.
Those are DLC pickles. Yeah. They're already in your burger. I understand that. You eat around that. That's what you're going
to
do.
It's so insane to me that we let this happen and that people are still just going nuts over. Some companies are worse than others.
I think there's because we live in a time where there's more people that are just used to this because this is what they've had and stuff. We come from an older school, old school gaming where DLC was first released. You know how pissed off people were when Horse Armor was announced and they showed $5 price tags for this bullcrap of things that was just a cosmetic change because that was their first test, Microsoft's first test of how DLC works. Nowadays, if you got Horse Armor, it's like 99 cents, right?
Now they're called emotes in Destiny.
It's so stupid. Now, they do that with certain... Like, I've seen them do that on PC games. Like, I went to Smite, and they do that on Smite. They charge for certain emotes and stuff like that. And I was like, this is even stupid. I wouldn't do this on Smite either. But it may be them trying to emulate that aspect of of the PC. You know what I mean? I don't know if it does it on League of Legends, but
I'm sure it does.
It's maybe them just trying to be like, oh yeah, we can do the same thing that PC does. We're close enough.
It's an interesting thing, man. Every single game, every major release that's coming out from now until the foreseeable future, all have a season pass attached to them. And knowing what we know about how games work, I mean, not every game's a hit, right? So one of those middle of the road games, let's say The Division comes out and it doesn't do gangbuster numbers, but they've already sold you a season pass and, you know, it's already a failure. Are they still going to give their 100% or do you, my feeling is that DLC is already done.
They
created the story and they're like, and then the DLC story. And then, so no matter what, we could at least give them something.
The season passes, like I said, it seems like a contract and it's just like, well, I have to kind of play this game when this DLC comes out. So even if the game sucks, I already spent my money.
A lot of times you're only saving, a lot of times you're only saving really $5.
Yeah.
You buy it now up front and they'll be like, yeah, it's $30 if you buy it right now. You don't want to be a jackass and buy it for $35 in a few months.
That's actually very accurate.
So, Webb, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that's the reason why I played the second DLC for Destiny was I was like, well, I already paid for it, so I might as well get my money's worth out of it and play.
I'm okay with how Bethesda's handling it for Fallout 4, mainly because they're calling it a season pass, but they said up front this gets you any content they make. And they have a proven track record of making very good DLC from Fallout 3 to Vegas to Skyrim. Like, they do very good.
Yeah, those
good.
Were like full games.
And see, calling it a season pass and saying and doing that, that makes sense. When you say season pass, that's what I think. It's like, okay, so you're buying the game, and then if you buy the season pass, then you're buying all the additional content that they come out with. But do it a lot of these other developers, it's highway robbery.
I think in the beginning, because I don't remember in the very first season pass, I don't think it was a season thing. You know, there wasn't a time limit. It was always just you got that, and then you got all the rest of the DLC. I think they, developers or publishers, took that word season extremely literal and was like, well, let's actually add a time limit to this season thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now it's like 6 months or whatever, and then your season's over.
Yeah, and then you have to buy it again.
Yeah, then you have to buy it again, yeah.
Borderlands 2 was one of the first ones that kind of offended me with the season pass deal, as we talked about a little bit earlier in the show. Other ones that are just completely a travesty is
Call of Duty
and Mortal Kombat. Oh my gosh, Mortal Kombat. They are known for the on-the-disc added characters. They got busted out, I think, as recently as Mortal Kombat X for doing this. And they don't wait for their game of the their complete editions. Their complete editions come out like clockwork, at least about a year from the initial release. So you have to be patient for 1 year, and then you can get all the damn characters. Me and Ed Boon had a personal falling out when he told me...
Personal falling out?
He
yeah,
told
they were best friends.
Me via an article on Game Informer that they would keep making DLC characters for as long as people were playing the game, actively playing the game. And then they put out the first wave that they already announced before the game came out. That's so stupid. The game hasn't even come out yet, and they're announcing the first wave of all their DLC characters and selling it to you. And they release that wave. I buy the game like an idiot with the season pass, thinking, all right, what's going to be next? What next characters are we going to get? This is going to be so cool. And complete edition comes out. I tweet Ed Boon. I say, you told us you were going to keep making DLC for as long as there was a base of players. He says, show me where I said that on a tweet.
Did you Dead show
serious.
Him?
Yeah. Dead serious?
Yeah,
did?
No, this happened. Yeah, he
I know,
was like,
so did you show him, though?
Yeah. Okay. I sent it to him, and then the crazy part was that people started backing me up. I got a whole bunch of other people tweeting him with links to that article saying, yeah, you did say that. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And radio silence from Mr. Boone. Not a fan
and
of
now he's
TV.
No longer allowed to make interviews.
And he fired his PR person.
Yeah. He is banned. I'm going to say it right now. I don't care how much Ed Boon begs, he's banned from the VGB.
I'm saying you should get him on the show for
no,
that.
No, he's banned.
You got to have that talk.
Nope.
There's only been a couple people banned from VGB.
What if
right?
What if he explains himself? Like, think about it. Because I could have thrown the ban hammer down on Anthony Birch for that a travesty of, you know, story writing. But he came on. He had a justifiable reason. A very good justifiable reason that nobody
but Anthony
that I've
Birch
argued
didn't
with,
take money out of your
oh, yeah, he did.
Mouth.
Yeah, he did.
He
when
didn't.
He, when he shot Roland in the chest.
Oh, my oh God. My let God. It go.
He literally, let literally it go. Stuck his hand in my damn pocket.
Do we have another interview we can cut to or
and
something?
Said,
and we're out of time, guys.
That money. And I was like, you son of a mother.
No, see, that was a creative decision that hurt your feelings. This was Ed Boon
it hurt more than
lying
just
to my face.
It hurt more than just feelings. This was beyond feelings. This was like the like a part of me left when Roland passed away. And do you know the audacity? Has anybody played the stories now? Borderlands, Tales from Borderlands?
No, not yet.
So, spoiler alert, everybody. Jack dies at the end of Borderlands 2, correct?
Yeah.
Tales from the Borderlands, it looks like he's going to come back alive.
Yes!
I will be upset. I haven't finished it yet.
Wait,
so Tales from the Borderlands is like 2.5, is that right?
And it's actually, no, it's after all.
What
everything.
If the writer from Tales from Borderlands said, you know what, Corey, Video Game Bang, I listened to your podcast, the black guy was completely right. We're bringing him back. And it was your fault that he's coming back. You wouldn't be excited about that?
I would be, no, I needed, the only way, like I said, I've said this on the show before.
Give me the pencil. Give me the pencil.
I'd tell him, I'd be like, give me the pen. Let me write this. The only way I would accept is, like I said, at the end of Borderlands 1, when they open up that gate, it was a whole different dimension. And what you're playing in Borderlands 2 is an alternate world of Pandora.
No, they'll never do that.
Borderlands 3.
That makes it a whole that makes it a whole throwaway thing. That makes it so dumb.
I mean, they're throwing everything away now with Tales from the Borderlands and Jack coming back. Isn't that throwing away what you did in part 2?
Well, depends on whose story you listen to, because in the first one, what's the thing that brings people back to life? The new you?
Yeah.
The new you is canon in the first one. Yeah, and then exactly. Anthony Birch kind of said, no, that's not canon no more because then it takes death away from the story.
Okay.
So maybe it's back. Maybe
that's so stupid. And so,
oh, so Roland just appears?
Right. So, no. This is what happens. No, because they won't bring him back. They'll bring back, you know, the more charismatic Jack character. That's what they'll do. And then Jack will be back, and then they'll just be like, oh, so we can, you know, we'll take away death when the black guy dies, but then bring it back to bring back the white guy. That's what we do. Sweet.
Huh? Did the music not start?
Your music's not in here.
All right, the music's not in here. If you guys, I want to give you guys all a big thank you, a big steaming thank you to everyone in the chat room on Twitch, everyone listening to my voice right now on the podcast. David Ng did a great job running the show. David Webb, thank you. Aaron Carter. Now, before we go, we're going to just promote ourselves a little bit. If you are in the Sacramento area and you want to meet us in Poison, watch the show be taped live. Shake hands. You can meet Larissa. A lot of you guys want to do that. You can go to the Sac Gamer Expo. That's going to be in December. I believe it's going to be on the 13th, December 13th. You can go buy your tickets now. You could see our panel live. There's going to be other great guests there as well. Andre, the Black Nerd Comedy.
I thought you were going to say Andre 3000.
Andre 3000 can be there, maybe.
All right.
We also have Roger Craig Smith is going to be there.
Oh, Craig Rogers Smith. Okay.
Sean Long is going to be there, popular YouTube personality. Yeah.
Sorry, never.
You don't play with too many toys, do you?
Not the ones that you're thinking of.
God. You went there, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to help support the show, we could really use your help, everybody. I know Webb will put this in the chat room. Call to action. We need some chairs, ladies and gentlemen. These chairs need to go back to my mom's house. These are dining room chairs that we're sitting on. Who doesn't have the cushion today?
I don't have the cushion, clearly.
Yeah. We're giving Aaron hemorrhoids here. So if you want to help support the show,
that's horrible.
Let Aaron not have hemorrhoids. Go to patreon.com/videogamebang. Help us out with a little monthly donation. You can just give one time and then cancel it. However you want to do it, we could really appreciate. We've put already all of our budget into this room we have so far. This podcast table. I know you guys can't see it from the camera, but you know, it's gotten us a lot of press in the podcast world.
It's helped a great deal, yeah.
The Twitter,
it's slick.
We get questions on the Twitter, like, how'd you do this and that? We've actually been able to help other podcasts get better. But that being said, it took a lot of money. And the one part we were not able to get sponsorship for was the chairs. So that's when we go to the people. We were all chipping in our own money as well, but we have quite a ways to go. So if you help us out, patreon.com/videogamebang, that would be a giant help. Another way you can help, maybe if you don't have the finances, what's just as good as money to us is if you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, wherever you listen to podcasts, and rate us. Please give us that 5 stars. It really, really helps us gain more followers. They put so much weight into those reviews and those star ratings, especially on iTunes. And we're doing our best to keep coming up with content for you guys that's intriguing. We're streaming once a day on here. So if you want to check out our shows, Monday is David Webb's show. You can see him streaming live. Tuesdays, I'm taking over with Fight Night Tuesdays, where I'm going to be continuing my quest to becoming a professional Street Fighter player. Wednesday.
You might want to Fight Night Tuesdays? Is that what you're going with?
I don't know. Yeah, the name's under
Throwdown Tuesdays?
Throwdown, no.
It's just a working title.
It's a working title. All right,
that's fine. It's cool. It's fine. It's fine.
This show happens on Wednesday nights. Thursday nights, Aaron is taking over.
Thirsty Thursdays, everybody. Get ready for that.
Thirsty Thursdays.
I'm wondering. Thirst is real.
I'm wondering how long this is going to go. Your idea is you're going to have a very attractive lady helping you.
The thirst is real. Multiple ladies.
At one time?
No. Oh, okay. I can only handle one at one time. Yeah,
it's a big mandate.
We'll try to get a couple of gamer ladies in there to play some co-op games with Sir Aaron Carter on Thirsty Thursdays.
Thirsty Thursdays, and
see
then
how long they can stand.
Fridays, the main event, the one everyone loves, is the Larissa streams, where she just does whatever the fuck she wants, and you guys all love it. So we're gonna let her keep doing her thing. That's it, everybody. Thank you so much. NerdReactor.com, Corsair Gaming, for David Ng, David Webb, Aaron Carter, and Corey Vincent. We will see you on the internet.